I want to speak to you out of a scripture today that says this: be still and know. Be still and know. There are so many people today that are so full of worry and anxiety because of what they're seeing around them. I don't think that I have seen so many Christians go up on social media with such a defeatist attitude. As if because of what has happened in the earth, in the recent things that have taken place, I have never in my life seen so many people that have gone into depression and sunk to me to an all-time low, and having people literally text me and saying, "What are we going to do?" And I'm sitting there going, "Do what you've always done if you've done it, and that is put your trust in God." Put your trust in God. Everything in this earth is not going to work out the way you think it's going to work out. And sometimes when you pray, it's not going to work out unless you have total scripture and promises of God. You pray those and you know God's going to answer it. But there are certain things in our life that we literally can't find in the Word of God that we pray about. And when we pray about them, I still have to see what God is doing in it. I could not find anywhere in the Bible where it gave my wife's name for me to marry. I had to pray about it. And I was praying and actually thought that there was another person that I was supposed to be married to. She knows all of this. I've told her that. Okay. This is not new revelation to her. So there was somebody that I thought, and it did not work out. And I thought that I had just made a mistake. I had blown it. What is going on? What's happened to me? It's just like there are singles that come up and say, I want you to pray with me that God's will be done concerning this person that I'm in relationship right now. I said, okay, let's pray for God's will to be done. I said, now you know when I pray for this, that if God closes the door, it's going to be closed. Oh, yes, Pastor, I want it closed. If he opens the door, then he will open it. And he will confirm it to you. Oh, yes, 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 yes. And then when God shuts the door and the person is no longer in their life, then they come down for prayer and they feel like, oh, I don't know what happened. I don't know what I've done. How did God blow it? How did I miss it? Why did this person? You pray for God's will. God just took them out of your life because it was not his will. And then you go into depression. And think that you're the worst person and you've missed God 400 miles. And a lot of times, singles get into the place where they get into a relationship sexually they should not be in, okay? And when that happens, then their soul ties. You know, the Bible says when you have sex with a person, you become one flesh with them. And so that's the reason it's so hard to break that. If we would just, listen to me, if we would just obey God's word, we wouldn't have those issues. Amen? And we then the right things would happen, the right things would come. So in this day and time that we're living in, it's important that we need to understand that everything that we see that is happening and escalating at a high speed is all in God's word. And here's what we forget as Christians. We want everybody to prophesy and give us the right answers, and we want them to give us the answers that we want, the way we want it to happen. And then when that doesn't come to pass, then we want to stone the prophet. One thing that we need to understand concerning prophecy, and that is this, and Pastor David preaches this and teaches this to our School of Prophets school and group that they have, and that is this: we know in part and we prophesy in part. Sometimes people can prophesy out of their own spirit. Okay? The key to that is this. If I miss it, I need to repent and publicly say I missed it. That's the key concerning that. Okay? So this morning when I was in prayer, He just dropped this into my heart. He said, in 2017, I gave you a message to speak to the church concerning warnings, concerning what my word says about the upcoming days. I actually pulled that up. It's in the archives. I actually pulled that up and looked at my notes. And it's amazing because God had me warning the body of Christ, warning the church concerning the very things that we're facing right now. And people are falling apart. The problem is that everybody wants to hear messages on their best life now. They want to hear messages of their personal comfort and affluence. Don't give me anything that would possibly upset me. Don't give me anything that's going to cause me to put a magnifying glass upon my own conduct and behavior and examine my own faith. Just teach me what I can get and what I can have. Just teach me about joy and love and grace and mercy, but don't teach me anything else. Just leave it at that. The Bible even says that in the last days, there will be people falling away from the faith. And the reason they're falling away from the faith is because they're going to heap up for themselves teachers and others that will give them exactly what they want to hear and tickle their ears. Let me share something with you about the Word of God. And when I say this, I'm talking about the whole counsel of God. The Word of God is not a feather. It does not tickle you. The Word of God is a sword. And it will divide between spirit and soul. It will divide between the flesh and the spirit. It will divide. And sometimes it brings great conviction, not condemnation. But sometimes it will bring conviction. And the sad thing about so many of the body of Christ today is we don't want conviction. We want comfort. And if all we do is preach comfort, then that means that you're going to be soft. That means that you're not going to be in shape to do spiritual warfare. It means that you're going to fall away immediately when tribulation comes because you will have no root in the Word of God. So the Apostle Paul, listen, warnings are a good thing. Amen? It's a good thing. I want to read to you from Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 26. Amen. It says this. Apostle Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus. He has established this church. And when he went in to establish this church, there was one of the greatest revivals you have ever seen or ever heard about. I mean, people were being healed. People were being set free. People were being delivered from demons. It was such a mighty move of God that all the people that worshiped the goddess Diana and had all of their idols, they came and burned them in a public square. And the move of God was so incredibly powerful. But right before the Apostle Paul left, he made this statement to them. He says this, "Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am the innocent of the blood of all men." You know, on our website, I have put together where we can read through the Bible in 1 year. I put notes up there and some other things. In the previous days, weeks, we have been reading through, in the Old Testament, we've been reading through the prophet Ezekiel. Now, I don't know about you. When you read the prophet Ezekiel, it makes me tremble. And it makes me examine everything on the inside of me, and it makes me examine myself as a pastor, because once you get to a certain place, God tells Ezekiel, if you don't tell people the truth and you don't warn them, he said, when they die, I will require their blood at your hands. If you don't tell them the truth, if you don't warn them, and he said, and then he says this, if you don't warn a righteous man when he's living in sin, he said, I'll hold you accountable for his blood. So when I read these things, I'm like, okay. Examine. Am I teaching the word of God? So he said this, therefore I testify this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Now how can he make that statement? Listen to the next statement. For I have not shunned to declare you the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel. See, some people just want you to teach, like I said a while ago, they just want you to teach on love. And love is the basis of everything. It is the foundation. The two commandments that we have is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love one another. All the law hangs on those two and thing. And faith, we can have faith, but faith works by love. When you read 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, it talks about love. And the Bible says in 1 John, the 4th chapter, that God is love. But let me also say this, God is also holy. He is also righteous. And you can't separate those and just preach one particular doctrine. You've got to do what the Apostle Paul said, as a pastor, as a teacher, you must teach the whole counsel of God. So then he says this, therefore take heed to yourselves, to all the flock among, and he's talking to the elders now, he's talking to the pastors. He said, take heed for yourself and the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. This is to a powerful church. Matter of fact, this church is so powerful, you can read about it in Revelations, the 2nd chapter, where Jesus is coming to the church of Ephesus. He's commending them for all the things that they're standing for and they're believing and they're doing, but yet they're doing so much. He said, I have this one thing against you. He said, you have left your first love. Ministry didn't become a labor of love. Ministry became labor. And their concentration was on their systems, and their concentration was on what they were standing for, the reputation they had, the prestige they had. And they had gotten in a place where everything was working and it was working good, but they had left their first love. They were spending no more time with Jesus. That's something that happens to us in this world that we're living in. We can get so busy, not so much with church, even though that can happen. We get so busy with everyday life and the things of this world, and there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible even says if you don't work, you don't eat. That's a good revelation for some folks. Amen. If you don't, that's the reason a lot of people won't even read the book of Job, because they think it's the book of Job. Anyway, so the Apostle Paul is saying this. He said, listen, there are going to be people that are going to come in after I leave, and they're going to devour the sheep. He's warning them concerning this. And then he says this, also from among yourselves, right in the congregation, men will rise up speaking perverse things. It doesn't mean men are going to rise up and start cussing and tell you to go look at Playboy and all this kind of stuff. No, these are people that very subtly begin to lead you off the right path. began to lower the standard of God's holiness and began to teach you a grace that allows you to do just about anything that you want to and live any way that you want to live. Just recently, I had somebody that sent me a message and said this, "Pastor, please help me with this because there's a person that I'm working with is telling me that because of grace, they can live any way they want to live. And that's what they're being taught in their church." And he said, "Please help me with this and to understand, is this true?" And I said, "No, it's not true." And I gave scripture after scripture after scripture to them. And the main scripture is Titus, the second chapter, verse 11 and 12. And it says this, "The grace of God teaches us to deny and reject and say no to all ungodliness and worldliness." The grace of God teaches us. It teaches us to be holy. And it empowers us because it's the Spirit of grace that empowers us to be able to live that way. And to be able to live the way God has called us to live. God is the one that said, "Be holy even as I am holy." How is that possible? Because this is, again, where the body of Christ has got to come again to this revelation. And that is this. God is, even though God is in heaven, God is on his throne, God is everywhere, he's omnipresent, but God lives in you. You're not trying to get God to do something from heaven. God is living inside of you. The Spirit of God is right here. Right here. No matter how you feel. Even when you don't feel saved. And you don't go by feelings. "Well, I just don't feel God. I don't feel. Well, of course you don't feel God. Thank God for those feelings. I love those feelings. I love it when the manifestation presence of God is so strong. I can cry. I can weep. It's just wonderful. It's awesome. I love those feelings. But I can't live in that. I must live in the fact that I know that he lives inside of me and that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Never, never, ever. Will he leave me? No matter what I feel and what I don't feel, he's still there." He said this, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also among you, men will rise up speaking perverse things." And why are they speaking perverse things? Now listen to me very carefully. "Because they want people to come after them." You know what it's called in the gospel? It's what Paul said in Philippians, the first chapter. He addressed this. He said, "Some people preach Jesus out of selfish ambition. And some people preach Jesus out of the sincerity of love." And he said to the Philippian church and to those, he said, "You preach out of sincerity of love." That means you love God and you love people. So you tell the truth. And then comes Philippians, the second chapter, where he says, "Don't do anything out of selfish ambition." See, when people want, or you have a person who wants to be the spotlight, who wants to be seen, who wants to have reputation, who wants to be seen as the most spiritual and the one walking in revelation, and they will act in a certain way that seems so spiritually, but on the inside, their heart is wrong because it's selfish ambition. What can I get for myself? What can I get from you? How can you help me to accomplish what I want to do? See, this is a day and a time that you must be discerning. You must be discerning. Discernment seems to have gone out the window. You must be able to discern between that which is right, that which is wrong. Discern that which is the flesh and carnality and that which is of the Spirit of God. You do that by having your own personal time in the Word, and you do that by having, number one, your personal time with Jesus, which is very important. You can get busy all day long and never spend time with Jesus. But if you spend time with Jesus, He'll give you the wisdom to manage your busyness and to help you during the day. So here's what he says. There will be men preaching perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years, wow, I guarantee you, you probably would get tired of these sermons. What if I preach the same thing, the same series, the same title, entitled Warnings, for 3 years? He said, therefore, watch and remember, for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. The things that I see, I'm not, in my prayer time when I'm weeping today and crying and getting all emotional, it's not because what I see in the world, because the Bible already tells me what's happening in the world. It's what I'm seeing that's happening in the body of Christ. And I'm seeing how many people are being drawn away by the spirit of this culture and this world and being affected by it in such a way that there are people literally just giving up on Jesus, giving up, walking away. And guess what? The Bible says, actually says it in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. It also says it in Matthew, the 24th and 25th chapter. It also says it in Mark, and it also says it in Luke 21. It talks about the falling away before the return of Jesus. And so many people in church don't want to hear that. I must preach that and teach that because I don't want you to be in that statistic. I must warn you and let you know that you must guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it come the issues of life. You must guard what you're hearing and what you're listening to. You must guard what your children are listening to and hearing. You must know what they're doing on the internet, because pornography is everywhere. I read a statistic the other day. On pornography sites, there are 1,000 views per second. 1,000 views per second. It used to be that the majority of those were men, but now women constitute 38% of that. This is because of what we see on television today, what we see in the movies, and we are allowing that to affect us in such a way that we're not really getting the Word of God down on the inside of our hearts. And the church in this day and time, if any message needs to come, it is to awake. It is to awaken. Awaken to the day and the time that we're living in, because the world, like Samson and like Delilah did to Samson, they couldn't do anything until she lulled him to sleep. And when she lulled him to sleep, he lost his strength. Many in the body of Christ that are anointed with the Spirit of the living God are allowing the culture and the things of this world to lull us to sleep. We must pray. We must intercede. We can no longer be a prayless church. We must be intercessors in these last days. We must be praying over our own personal lives and our families. And we must pray on a daily basis. That's what Jesus taught us. He taught us to pray on a daily basis, not monthly, not when they're just a crisis. He taught his disciples when they said, teach us to pray. They didn't say, hey, teach us to preach. Teach us to teach. He said, teach us to pray. Then he said, pray in this manner. And then he made a statement. He said, and ask for daily bread. Yeah. Not weekly, not monthly, not quarterly, not semi-annually. Ask for daily bread. In other words, you need to go to the Father every single day. Very important. Well, I'm just so busy. I'm so busy. I'm so busy. I know. And that's the reason you're going to be like Martha. Not that there's anything wrong with being busy. You must work. You must do the things that you need to do. You must teach. You must raise your kids. That's responsibility. We must be doing these things. But at the same time, you've got to somewhere put in there some time with Jesus. Some time with the Word of God. You can't let the things of this world get you in a place that you don't have time for Him. You don't have time for the Word. Because when a crisis hits, where are you going to go? You're going to run to the front. You're going to put in a prayer request. You're going to believe God. But the problem is you have not established your faith. So once somebody prays for you, you go right back into your anxiety and worry. Instead of into your praise. You must discipline yourself. And the Bible talks about how the Holy Spirit helps us. He helps us. He will help you discipline yourself. If you just ask Him, He will help you to do anything if you ask Him. He is called the helper. But you have to ask Him to help. And when you ask Him to help, He's right there. He loves to do that. But the Bible says you have to ask Him to help. So Paul says this. He said, therefore, remember 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God. In other words, he says, I present you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance to those who are sanctified. And before we have communion this morning, I want to read to you the scripture that the Lord gave me and told me to speak this to you. With all that's going on, get your focus on Him. Get your focus on Him. Whatever is going to happen, it is going to happen. Nothing happens in this earth that is of such a magnitude that God is ignorant of it. Or God has no idea what's going on. But God wants us to have a certain focus, and I'm going to show you what that focus is in just a moment. But listen to this scripture in Psalms 46, verse 10. And I'm going to first read it out of the New King James, and then I'm going to read it out of two other translations. Listen to this. He says, be still. Now, this is a time when literally commentators believe that this pertains to King Hezekiah when the Assyrians were surrounding Jerusalem. And so he says this, be still and know that I am God. Wait a minute. Don't you see what's happening? We're surrounded right now. Don't you know the Assyrians are the utmost terrorist in all of the Middle East? That's who they were back in those days. I mean, everybody knew how they tortured people. It's beyond, I wouldn't even describe some of the things that they do to children, to mothers, to people. You can go back in history and look at it. And God is saying, right here, he's saying, be still. When you look at the bank account, and you look at your bills, and the Lord speaks to you and say, be still. It's easy for you to say you're in heaven, and I'm on earth. No, he's right here. He knows exactly what your bank account is. He knew your bank account was going to be that before you even knew the bank account was like that. He knows. He knows everything. And here's what he says. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am your God. Be still. How many times did you see David in the book of Psalms that he would speak to himself and say, calm down. Get your focus. And then he would say this. David self-talked all the time. He would say, why are you so downcast, all of my soul? He's talking to his emotions. Why are you acting like this? Put your trust in God. He's talking to himself. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. You've done it all your life. You've called yourself stupid. That's the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. You've called yourself all kinds of things. Don't stop talking to yourself when it comes to the things of God. Talk to yourself. Talk to your emotions. Talk to your body. Speak. Quit remaining silent. Quit going into depression. Whatever you see that you don't like, that doesn't line up with the Word of God, speak it. Speak it. So he says, be still and know that I, God, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I don't know how God's going to do it, but when I cast all my care upon Him, He's going to get the glory. He's going to get the honor. He's going to be exalted in my household. He's going to be exalted in this church. He's going to be exalted. I don't know how He's going to do it, but He's going to do it. Now listen to this. Psalms 46, verse 10 and 11, the Passion Translation. Surrender your anxiety. Be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. Wow. In other words, what he's saying, all your striving and all your anxiety and all your worry is blinding you to who your God is. So he said, be silent, stop your striving. You will see that I am God. I am the God above all the nations. I will be exalted throughout the whole earth. Here he stands, the commander, the mighty Lord of the angel armies is on your side. The God of Jacob fights for us, pause in his presence. Come on, folks. Some of you need to hit the pause button. Some of you have hit 6 times the speed, running, crazy. Let your mind run crazy, run through anxiety and worry. And the devil loves that because then he will begin to inject into your mind things that have not happened yet, but he can bring to pass if you believe it. But so can God if you believe him. Above what you're seeing. Hey, by the way, let me throw this in real quickly, and it's this. God sent, because it says the mighty Lord of angel armies is on our side. God sent one angel. One angel. One came into the Assyrian army and killed 185,000 of them. Just one angel. And the Bible says that the angels are ministering spirits for us that are heirs of salvation. The Bible says that God's angels encamp about us to protect us, to bear us up in all of our ways, to keep us safe wherever we go and what we do. You're worried about one little problem. And God's angel went in and took care of 185,000 problems at one time, at one point. Now here's the one I love. Listen to the Message Bible, Psalms 46:10. Step out of the traffic. Because some of you, all you can hear is the horns blowing. You're walking in the wrong place. Get out of the traffic. If you don't, you're going to get run over. But listen to this. Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics. Oh, no. What? That's in the Message Bible. Above politics, above everything. Take a long, loving look at God. Get your eyes focused on Him, folks. That's one of the most incredible translations I ever. I couldn't believe. Matter of fact, I would have never looked at that if it hadn't been the Holy Spirit told me to look it up. And I looked it up and I saw that and I said, oh man, will that preach for this day and hour? Amen. Folks, listen to me very carefully. You have a covenant with God through the blood of Jesus. I could give you scripture after scripture after scripture and teach you, and I probably will, concerning the days that God prophesied that we would be seeing at this day and time. Listen to me very, very carefully. Very carefully. We are in the beginnings of a very fast and quick prophetic countdown to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something else you can look at. All focus and all eyes coming before the return of Jesus. And I'm going to say this to you. Watch Israel. Keep your focus on Israel. We have not even seen the wars of Ezekiel 38 and 39 yet. Keep your focus. Because the Bible clearly tells us that in the last days before the return of Jesus, that Israel will be abandoned to herself. But guess who she is abandoned to? God Almighty. You don't mess with her. Even though not many over there are saved, you don't mess with her. That is the apple of His eye. Just like His body, you and I, full of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God, the sons and daughters of God. But listen to me again very carefully. The Bible also tells us that before Jesus returns, and most people will not say this because it upsets Christians. Here's what He says. He says, all nations will hate you because it hated me. The word nations there is ethnos. All ethnic groups will hate you because of me. Men will love the darkness more than they love the light. Men and women will suppress the truth big time in the last days and do everything they can to get rid of you and to stop you. Because the one thing that we need to understand is this battle is spiritual. Even though it's being carried out in this earthly realm, it is spiritual. And it has to do with principalities and powers. It has to do with the kingdom of darkness against the kingdom of light. And Jesus said, even in the last days, even family members will hate you. Family members will betray you. The Bible says that. Pastor Al is only quoting what God is saying, what Jesus Himself said. The Apostle Paul said it in 2 Timothy, the third chapter. He talked about perilous times, harsh, violent, oppressing times. At the very end, the last of the last of the last days. The Bible tells us this. This is not something for us to become depressed over. In the middle of that, we are to be shining as lights. The Bible says we are to shine as lights, holding forth the word of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We are to be the light. We're not to fall away. We're not to give up. We're not to give in. We're not to sit around and complain and murmur because of what we're seeing. And here's my last statement, I think. Here's my last statement this morning to you. Jesus said in Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 13, he said, and remember this, the love of many will grow cold because lawlessness will abound. But that's not the end of the story. In verse 14, he said this, but this gospel, this is our focus. This is who we are. This is our heart. This is our mission. But this gospel shall be preached to the whole world, and then the end shall come. That is what we're called for right here. You're not called right now to experience just your best life now. Your best life does not come until Jesus comes back to get us and we're going to heaven, and then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and you're going to have your best life then. In this world, we will have tribulation, but when Jesus and God gives us a new heaven and a new earth, there will be no devil. There will be no sickness. There will be no disease. There will be no tribulation. There will be no taxes. It's going to be a world that is beyond your comprehension. But in the meantime, we've got to get as many people to that position and that place through Jesus Christ before He comes. That's our mission. And if you get your focus on anything else and try to go find and listen to other things that have to do with the things of the flesh, the things of this world, and you lose your focus there, you will be the most frustrated and you will be the unhappiest Christian during this time. But if you get your focus on the harvest field and all of us working together to win people for Jesus, to get the gospel out, to build community, to help one another, to pray for one another, to walk through one another's battles and help each other to fight the fight of faith and be the brothers and sisters that God has called us to be. Because everything that's going to happen the way God said it, it's going to happen. No matter who prophesies, it's going to happen. Can you say amen?